You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Serengeti Empress chased by Gamine, and here's Gamine striding forward on the outside of Serengeti Empress. Sconson goes third down toward the rail and is still five from the front. Gamine in the final furlong, now at the 16th pole. Gamine, John Velasquez rolling on home to win the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. All Gamine. They've got to get Channel Maker. Let's see what Magical can do now. And then Arglow and Tarnawa. Tarnawa is running fast down the center of the course. Tarnawa past Magical has caught Channel Maker. Tarnawa moves on by Tarnawa and Colin Keane to win the Longines Turf.
Well, that's our very own Kurt Becker with the call of last year's Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint and Breeders' Cup Turf. Gamine and Tarnawa among the defending champions we're going to see in the Breeders' Cup later today at Old Del Mar. Both expected to be heavy favorites in their respective races. And that is going to be one of the topics that we will discuss on today's show as I once again welcome trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin to a special Breeders' Cup edition of I Ask, They Answer. But guys, before we dive into the various Breeders' Cup topics, I want to spend a few minutes remembering jockey Miguel Mena. The 34-year-old rider was, of course, killed in a pedestrian accident in Louisville this past Saturday night. And for those of us who knew Miguel, he was one of those athletes where you can say, yes, he was fantastic at his job, but he was an even better human being. And Dale, I'm sure you'd agree with that.
Yeah, Miguel and I were very close from the time he came to Kentucky. He's been like a son to me. And it's a very sad day in racing. It's a very sad day for humanity. This kid was just such a good soul. Came from dirt floors in Peru to be a leading rider in America. And people don't know all the stuff good that he's done for others behind him in Peru to get him over here, get him visas, get him licensed. He was coming to me all the time to another jockey needed a shot. And he just looked after people. Of course, he had his demons like the rest of us, and but he worked on himself all the time, and it's just such a sad situation. He was a good soul, good person.
Yeah, Timmy.
Yeah, no, I didn't know Miguel that well. I think I interviewed him a couple times, but he was always so polite, always a professional, and he just had that thing about him where you knew he was a good guy. You didn't know him that well, but you just knew he was a good guy, just the way he carried himself. And I was just shocked when I heard, and again, I didn't know him that well, but it hit me a little bit hard too, because this guy seemed like a great family man, and you know, the two little daughters, and it's just a very, very sad thing for racing. Anytime it's a sad thing.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, though, that just, when you left him, your day was better. And they're few and far between people like that. And you know, it brings up a bigger issue that needs to be discussed later on, and that's, you know, mental health of people working in this business, especially jockeys, all the stress that they live under. You know, when you live by winning and competing, and you're critiqued every day by your peers and the people you work for and the media and the stress that goes along with that, and on top of not being able to eat and I think this should open the door for bigger discussions down the road for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dale, you're right. Every time you left a conversation with Miguel, you always felt good about yourself and about the sport. He was always very positive and very upbeat. And, you know, I got to know him from the media side of things. And then as I got involved doing work with the Jockeys Guild and the PDJF, I got to know him a little bit more. And I don't claim to be close with him like you, but I just remember there was enough times that I would reach out to Miguel. He would get right back to me. We would have a conversation, whether it be on air or in the jocks room. And just one of those people that really, really loved the sport, loved the game. And like I say, a better person than he was a rider.
Just good energy about him.
Yep. Yeah, well, he will be missed, and a very sad occurrence there last Saturday in Louisville, Kentucky. All right, with that, we still have racing going on today, and it kind of puts things in perspective. We talk about the Breeders' Cup, and yeah, it's a championship event, and it means an awful lot to so many people in our sport, but in the end, it is just a series of horse races. But here we go, guys. Topic number one, what would be the most surprising result later today. Gamine losing the filly and mare sprint, or Tarnawa getting beat in the Breeders' Cup turf? Timmy?
Well, for me, it's easy because I picked Gamine to win. I didn't pick Tarnawa to win. So it's an easy one for me. Gamine has been so dominant her whole career, winning 9 out of 10. She just goes the lead, and she does, and no one gets to her. I would be shocked if she doesn't win this race because I think she's the dominant in her division. And Tarnawa, I mean, I think she's raced three times since the Breeders' Cup, and second in the Arc de Triomphe. I mean, she's coming in here with credentials and definitely the one to beat. But the thing about the Europeans over here, the people in the U.S. don't follow it as much as they will follow the horses that are stateside. So I think, without a doubt, if Gamine were to lose, that would be a bigger shock.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that Gamine's not only dominated the class, the field of sprint fillies, but you got a couple of the better ones that just didn't even come out here, like Sconson and Neil Pessin's filly, that would have been contenders that just stayed home. They've had enough of chasing Gamine. And the other race is a tough, you know, that's a tougher, it's a much tougher race. So I think definitely the biggest upset would be if Gamine was to lose.
Yeah, and Gamine facing a very short field. Of course, Tarnawa going to have to compete against a full field in the Breeders' Cup turf. But, Dale, you can't get into any trouble in a short field, right?
Oh, yeah, I've said that a lot of times and gotten in trouble all the way around. what can happen will happen. But I think Gamine she's facing a good bunch, but not all the best of that division. So it's her race to lose, definitely. The other, you know, going and running those turf races, good horses, those to me are the most difficult to be consistent on. And that's why her record is so good. It's so impressive that she's been so good for so long running against top horses on the grass. But they're two great horses. Either one of them loses is going to be a shocker.
Yeah, yeah, I think we all agree, though, Gamine would be the bigger shock, the bigger surprise of those two if she were to get beat in that filly and mare sprint. All right, moving on to topic number two. If we were to go ahead and create a race of the century here this morning, and we were to put every Breeders' Cup Classic winner in the starting gate together, if we could ever do that, who would be favored and who would win? Who wants it first?
I got this one first. I'll take this one.
All right.
I think who would be favored? It's a tougher question than who we think would win, but for the win side, I'm going with Arrogate. And on the loser side, I'd probably take, I mean, the favoritism may go to the filly because she was the favorite, one of the favorite horses of racing at her time.
Zenyatta.
And yep. I think I might make her the favorite just because she had such a cult following. But Arrogate to me. And I'm not basing it as much on Breeders' Cup as I never seen a horse do what he did in Dubai World Cup. I think he may be one of the greatest horses of our generation. Any of us have watched run. And for a horse to overcome what he did and run the way he did in Dubai, when he was at his best and assuming they would all be at their best, I mean, I loved a lot of them. Ali Sheba was a great one, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I would go Arrogate, winner, Zenyatta favorite.
Jeez, Dale, what a sentimental guy you are, picking the filly. I like that.
Well, I like mean, the girl.
This is, Jesus, Tammy must be standing next to you.
she's actually out hiking.
But you know, if I were to make a line on this, I might have co-favorites. I might make Cigar and American Pharoah the co-favorites in the race. Because I think those two might have been the shortest price favorites in the history of the Breeders' Cup Classic, I believe. But I would pick Ghost Zapper to win it.
Ooh.
Because Ghost Zapper.
Yeah.
The in 2004, I mean, he ran a hole in the wind when he won that race. And I think he would put away American Pharoah on the front end, and then he would hold off Tiznow, Curlin, and Zenyatta in a blanket finish.
Wow. How about that? Wilkin coming with the full handicapping analysis.
Yeah, let me just say, again, he has shown me up as doing his homework. He knew the shortest prices where I had no idea. And then he was gigging me a little bit, I think, with Ghost Zapper, because whoever doesn't know it out there is I ran second in that Breeders' Cup Classic in my first Breeders' Cup appearance with Roses in May.
Yep.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
You did it. You brought up enough just bringing Ghost Zapper up. I know that was a little gig, but I can handle it.
Well, you know, you're out there in California. I'm here in Albany, New York. I should be out in California.
You should be right here with us. No, but you're right about Ghost Zapper. He definitely, that was probably as good a field of horses ever assembled for the Breeders' Cup Classic. And I told Bobby that morning, I said, I got you. He said, you'll see at the quarter pole. Well, I told my jock Johnny to sit right on his hip and aggravate him all the way around there. And when he gets tired of us, he'll get mad and back up. Well, he got mad, all right, and ran away from us. It was an amazing performance by Ghost Zapper.
You know, yeah, and you know, just some of the, I mean, you could make a case for just about all of them. I mean, Sunday Silence would even mention him.
Yeah.
You know, this is just, it's a Ferdinand. I mean, that you have these horses that ran such great races in the Breeders' Cup Classic. And, you know, maybe we'll see another one later on today.
One thing's for sure, Tim. I know Dale's not intimidated by American Pharoah.
No, he never crossed my mind. I know he's beatable.
Yeah, I think you would know that one, Dale.
Yeah, but let me tell you what, I'm one of the biggest American Pharoah fans of all time. I will say that, too, because I watched him work his first work ever at the McCathen Farms when he was a two-year-old, and I told Mrs. Ida at that point, I'd never seen anything like it. It was just such an amazing performance. Well, he was like a four-year-old.
I remember talking to you Travers Week, you know, confident as you were with Keen Ice, you were also very, very, very impressed with American Pharoah.
Well, and show him all the respect in the world.
And what he had done for racing. I mean, you gushed over him. I remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you this. Not one person had ever come up to me and say, American Pharoah beat you six times. But they always come up and say, they all talk about the Travers when we won.
It's a great way to look at it.
That's the fastest fastest you ever ran, Dale.
Carrying Tammy the whole way, and I got halfway there and realized I was too fat and out of shape to be running that far carrying her.
But you were moving like a tremendous machine for a while.
For a while, but I hit a wall.
All right, I'm really curious to get your thoughts on this one, guys. Topic three, over the past 13 years, this is pretty incredible. The Breeders' Cup has been held in either California or Kentucky. That's it. The 2007 Breeders' Cup at Monmouth in New Jersey was the last time that the event was held in a state other than those two. Now, to put that into perspective, in the first 23 years of the Breeders' Cup, the event was held in seven different states with one international venue at Woodbine up in Canada. So my question to you, does the Breeders' Cup need to go back to a bigger rotation outside of just California and Kentucky?
Take the lead, Tim.
Well, you know, people might say, yeah, it should, because it should move around. But, you know, when they go to California, you're guaranteed of great weather every year, even though I guess it's been cold out in San Diego, hasn't it, Dale?
A little chilly, yeah.
But, you know, it hasn't been a Gulfstream forever because they can't accommodate the fans anymore. And New York hasn't had it since 95. I wish it would come back to New York. I hope it comes back to New York because New York is a mecca of horse racing. And, you know, Kentucky, I mean, what can you say? Kentucky is the birth of horse racing. And, you know, whenever you go to Churchill Downs and Keeneland, they do a bang-up great job of putting on the World Series of horse racing. So you can't argue with that. From a media standpoint, I mean, because this is the first year I haven't gone to the Breeders' Cup since, well, I didn't go in 17 because I got knee surgery, but this is the first time I haven't gone because, you know, media doesn't travel well for these races anymore. Last year at Keeneland, I was the only newspaper outside of Kentucky that was there, which was shocking to me. And I don't know how much media is out there other than the Forum, the trades, as far as newspapers go. I wish it was more. It used to be that was a big, 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 big event for media. It isn't so much anymore. and I wish it would come back. But as far as, yeah, I'd like to see it move around a little bit so fans around the country that don't have to travel every year. But I don't know if it will, because I think they're pretty much the Breeders' Cup likes California and they love Kentucky.
Well, I agree. I think that when the Breeders' Cup, the original charter for Breeders' Cup was to take the great racing to the people. And it was to move it all around the country. But then you got a place like Gulfstream Park. They knocked down the big, beautiful building they had, and they got three restaurants next to a racetrack. It'd be almost impossible to have a Breeders' Cup there. The New York situation, they had great Breeders' Cups, but the last time I was in Belmont for the Breeders' Cup, it was so darn cold, and the place is not winterized at all. Now, when they redo the place like you're talking about, it may be different, but it wasn't the best environment for the racing fans. I mean, it was freezing cold, and there wasn't but 100 tables inside of a heated area. Right. And Aqueduct, they're not going to give up their casino parking for us to have a Breeders' Cup there. So logistically, it's become a tough thing for them to move it around to other states. I hope someday that they find other places that they want to take it. I thought it was fun in Lone Star. Of course, a lot of people said it was too small. It was good where we were, but out in the bleacher sections wasn't good. And it's hard for 2 days of racing to expand your facility to accommodate all the people that are here. So I think we've outgrown a lot of venues, and a lot of venues shrunk on us.
I mean, a lot of people have said to me that it should be at Saratoga. Yeah, it's a sweet idea, but it could never happen because...
No, if it doesn't snow a foot, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I mean, they would be at the mercy of the weather, and, you know, you'd have to open up the... It's a summer track. You're not going to have people in the backyard at Saratoga for the Breeders' Cup. That would be ridiculous.
Right.
And I just think that, you know, they'd have to open it up and bring more people up to work and open the barn area up for, what, a week? 2 weeks?
Yeah.
It just wouldn't work.
Yeah, it's got to be a southern state if they're going to try to move it around. These northeastern locations like Belmont Park, yes, they're set up for it. But, even in Kentucky here, guys, Churchill Downs, they have great attendance there, great wagering. It can handle the amount of people that are going to be there. But the weather can be very, very dicey here in Kentucky at that time of year.
It can be, but Churchill's set up for that. They've got all the indoor seating that you could want and heated areas and places to escape from. Like, Belmont just doesn't have that. And, we're going to talk about the greatest races ever later, and that was, to me, was a bad weather day at Breeders' Cup. But you're right, Kentucky can have bad weather, which the Euros don't mind it being cold and a little bit drizzly, but the fans would be well protected from the weather if they're at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, Florida makes the most sense, but Florida doesn't have a place to host it anymore.
And you want to be able to have an event that it's going to be a fair playing field for the horses, too.
Right.
Go ahead.
You know, a place I keep hearing them talk about, and I think it would work, is the fairgrounds, which would be interesting to take it to Louisiana. And they'd have to expand the facility some, but that's a pretty good size racetrack. The weather's good that time of year in New Orleans, and I think that would be an interesting place to have it.
Yeah, and there was talk at one point of, maybe Hialeah, that the Breeders' Cup should buy Hialeah and make it a permanent venue for the Breeders' Cup every year. Obviously, that's not going to happen, but that was, if you were going to go to Florida, that might be the only place that you could go.
That'd be a beautiful Breeders' Cup if you could do it.
Yeah. All right, final topic before we wrap things up. We're down to the final couple minutes, guys. So if you could go back and attend just one Breeders' Cup, which one would it be?
Jim, you want
it? I'll take it first.
Okay.
I think I would go back in the hot tub time machine to 2010 at Churchill when Blaine beat Zenyatta in the Classic. I mean, there was a great day of racing for sure. But the thing that stuck out in my mind, the day after that race, John Sheriffs brought Zenyatta out. And he kept her out. And anybody that wanted to come up and see her, he allowed them to walk right up to her, pet her, just have their pictures taken with them. And this went on for a long time because I remember being out there doing work and I saw it going on early in the morning. Then I came back there and it was still going on. I mean, if you're talking about a guy that really understood how much this horse meant to so many people, and he wanted to share it with her because, that's the last time she ran. That was going to be there, be it for her. But that stuck out. That's still resonates to me of the job that John Sheriffs did with the way he shared Zenyatta with the people.
Yeah,
You're right. That was a great Breeders' Cup, and there's so many of them that we could talk about. But in my mind, there's one that sticks out, and I don't think there can be any argument. That was the greatest Breeders' Cup in history. It was 1988, Churchill Downs. It was one of those cold, rainy days. We're talking about the weather in Kentucky. Yeah. You had two Kentucky Derby winners, maybe three Kentucky Derby winners on the card. You had personal instant nail in winning colors who had won the Derby on the wire to remain undefeated. You had Easy Goer that was New York's horse, running second as a short favorite in the juvenile. And you had the Derby winner in darkness almost, winning the classic in Ali Sheba. And it was a great classic, and they all hit the wire together. And it was hard to even tell. It had gotten so dark in Churchill and cold and drizzly. It was a great backdrop when you look back on it. To me, 1988, I think even Wayne Lucas, that's the year he ran 1-2-3-4 in the juvenile fillies. The 88 Breeders' Cup at Churchill Downs, in my opinion, there's never been one like it.
All right. Well, there you go.
Who says Dale Romans doesn't do his homework?
He does his homework, see? Yeah, he plays possum in the beginning of the show.
That's off the top of my head.
All right, guys, we're about out of time here. I got to get to a commercial break, but appreciate it. Enjoy the Breeders' Cup today, and we'll do this again next week. I ask, they answer.
Talk to you next week.
All right, thanks guys.
Thanks, Dale.
I'm back to wrap up the show right after this. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.